نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه لنخرجنك يا شعيب والذين آمنوا معك من قريتنا أو لتعودن في ملتنا. قال أولو كنا كارهين. The chiefs of those who were arrogant among his people said, we shall certainly drive you out of Shu'aib and those who have believed with you from our town, or else you all shall return to our religion. Shu'aib said, what even though we should hate it, we should have invented a lie against Allah if we return to your religion after Allah has rescued us from it, and it is not for us to return to it unless Allah, our Lord, should so will. Our Lord comprehends all things in His knowledge. Alallahi tawakkalna, in Allah alone we put our trust. O our Lord, judge between us and our people in truth. Wa anta khairul fatihin, for you are the best of those who give judgment. Now we find that this is a continuation of the story we were reading yesterday. So the chiefs threatened to expel him. Now one thing I'd like to point out here is that in all the stories we're reading of all the prophets and their confrontations with the people, we find the people threatening them with death, threatening them with expulsion, threatening them with banishment, with making them into total outcasts. Now today also we commonly complain, oh, it's so difficult to obey Islam. If you do that, you become outcasts of society. No one wants to meet you. No one wants to hang out with you anymore. Nobody has ever threatened us with death if we read our prayers. No one has ever threatened us with death or with expulsion, that if you obey Allah's law, then you will be thrown out of this city. And we find that the prophets were not intimidated by all these threats. Look at his fearlessness in which he says, in Allah alone we put our trust. In other words, do your worst. Whatever Allah wills, that alone will happen. So what happens? The chiefs of those who disbelieved among his people said to their people, if you follow Shu'aib, be sure then you will be the losers. And that's the terminology people today also use. They see someone obeying Allah at the cost of his world and they say, what a loser. So this is not something new. This was a common taunt given to people who were different. So they said, if you follow Shu'aib, then you will be the losers. But what happened? فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةَ. The earthquake seized them. Whom did the earthquake seize? Those who were called the worldly losers or those who were the true losers? Those who denied Allah, they were the ones seized by the earthquake. And they lay prostrate in their homes. الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعَيْبَ كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. Those who denied Shu'aib became as if they had never lived there. At the end of the day, do we even know the names of the people who were threatening Shu'aib alayhi salam? Do we know the names of the people who were saying, if you follow Shu'aib, then you will be the losers? No, we don't. Those who denied Shu'aib became as if they had never lived there. Those who denied Shu'aib, كَانُوا هُمُ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They were the true losers. Then Shu'aib turned from them and said, O my people, I have indeed conveyed my Lord's messages to you, and I have given you sincere advice. Then how can I sorrow for the disbelieving people's destruction? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍّ. We sent no prophet unto any town, but we seized its people with suffering from extreme poverty and loss of health, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَرَّعُونَ, so that they might humble themselves. Then we changed the evil for the good until they increased in number and in wealth and said, our fathers were touched with evil and good. So we seized them all of a sudden while they were unaware. This is a very important concept we need to understand. We've been through it before as well. Allah says that when people are seized with suffering, what was the purpose of all that suffering? You know, we also go through problems and we also cry out, why me? This is not fair. I didn't deserve this. Allah says, in order that they might humble themselves. The true purpose of any calamity, of any misfortune, is to make us think. Make us think about what we're doing, to pull ourselves up, to conduct a self-analysis. The Prophet ﷺ once said, the gist of which was that any misfortune that afflicts a mu'min is actually for his reform, so he may reform himself. And he goes on passing through troubles until he purifies himself. And he emerges completely pure and cleansed. Whereas the hypocrite is like a donkey who doesn't know why his master tied him up and why he released him. So this is what these people are doing also. Superficial, saying, oh, these are the winds of fortune. You go through good times and bad times, and really there's no cause for it all. Now we shouldn't just apply this to others, we should apply this to ourselves. That next time we pass through any problem, we pass through any misfortune, we need to ask ourselves, what message is Allah sending me here? Remember, through our destiny God speaks to us, and through our worship we speak to Him. Allah says, then we change the evil for the good until they increased in number and in wealth. Whether they were going through good times or through bad times, because some people turn to Allah in distress, and some people turn to Allah in prosperity, but these people were so superficial, they were unaffected by all that was happening to them. And they said, well, our fathers were touched with evil and with good. So, you know, you go through good times and you go through bad times, and they don't really mean anything. So we seized them all of a sudden while they were unaware. And if the people of the towns had believed and had Allah consciousness, certainly we should have opened for them blessings from the heaven and the earth. Why do we fear deen? Because we fear that our world might be snatched away. We fear that my risk might be depleted if I give up riba. I fear that my friends might diminish if I start obeying Allah completely. Allah says if the people of the towns had believed, had been Allah conscious, certainly we should have opened for them blessings from the heaven and the earth. But they denied, so we seized them for what they used to earn. Did the people of the towns then feel secure against the coming of our punishment by night while they were asleep? Or did the people of the towns then feel secure against the coming of our punishment in the forenoon while they were playing? Can anyone anticipate a sudden disaster, a sudden calamity, and still we don't take heed? Did they then feel secure against the plan of Allah? None feel secure from the plan of Allah except the people who are the true losers. Now we can see again and again Allah's definition of losers, those who are so engrossed in their superficial pastimes that they have no time to stop and think about what they're doing. Is it not clear to those who inherit the earth in succession from its previous possessors that had we willed, we would have punished them for their sins? And we seal up their hearts, فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ, so they hear not. Every day we read in the newspaper about people dying, people, you know, being afflicted by different problems. Do we think about ourselves? Do we think that what if it were me in that position? No, of course not. Allah says we seal up their hearts so that they hear not. They're listening, but they're not processing it. Those were the towns whose stories we relate to you. And there came indeed to them their messengers with clear proofs. But they were not such as to believe in that which they had rejected before. Thus does Allah seal up the hearts of the disbelievers. And most of them we found not true to their covenant. What was their great crime? Their lie. What lie was this when they made a pact with Allah and then ignored it? We've all said La ilaha illallah. We say it daily. We teach it to our children. Do we teach them the meaning of La ilaha illallah? Or is it just words that we utter? Allah says most of them we found false to their covenant. When we say La ilaha illallah, we should be acting upon it. Otherwise it's a mockery. And most of them we found disobedient to Allah. Not disbelieving in Allah, disobedient to Allah. Then after them we sent Musa with our signs to Fir'aun and his chiefs. But they wrongfully rejected them. So see how was the end of the corruptors. And Musa said, Ya Fir'aun, inni rasulun min rabbil alameen. O Fir'aun, indeed I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. It is proper for me that I say nothing concerning Allah but the truth. Indeed I have come to you from your Lord with a clear proof. So let the children of Israel depart along with me. Now this proves that Musa alayhi salam came with a dual mission. To free Bani Israel from slavery and to invite Fir'aun towards Islam. Fir'aun said, if you have come with a sign, show it forth. If you are one of those who tell the truth. Then Musa threw his stick and behold, it was a manifest serpent. And he drew out his hand and behold, it was white with radiance for the beholders. We find that every prophet was sent with miracles appropriate to his age. Isa alayhi salam lived in an age of medicine where people were exploring medicine. So he was sent with miracles such as healing the born blind and healing the leper and bringing the dead to life. And Musa alayhi salam was sent in an age of sorcery. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him these miracles. The chiefs of the people of Iran said, this is indeed an expert sorcerer. He wants to get you out of your land. So what do you advise? They said, put him and his brother off for a time and send callers to the cities to collect so they bring to you all expert sorcerers. And so the sorcerers came to Fir'aun. They said, indeed there will be a reward for us if we are the victors. Now I want you to pay special attention to the sorcerers before the event takes place and afterwards. Indeed the sorcerers came to Fir'aun and said, Will there be a reward for us if we are the victors? He said, yes, and moreover, you will be of the nearest to me. See his arrogance. He thinks that that in itself is a great reward. They said, Ya Musa, imma an tulqiya, wa imma an nakuna nahnu al-mulqin. O Musa, either you throw first, or shall we have the first throw? Musa said, Alqu, throw you first. So when they threw, they bewitched the eyes of the people and struck terror into them, and they displayed a great magic. And they changed their sticks into serpents. And we find in another place in the Quran that even Musa alayhi salam felt fear. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ And we revealed to Musa, saying, throw your stick. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ And behold, it swallowed up straight away all the falsehood which they had shown. فَوَقَعَ الْحَقُّ وَبَطَلَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Thus truth was confirmed, and all that they did was made futile. This is one of the most powerful confrontations between truth and falsehood. Again and again it's repeated in the Quran. And it bears special relevance for us. Special encouragement, reassurance for us. Look at Musa alayhi salam. He came forward, he challenged the whole people. He challenged the rulers of Egypt. Not just Fir'aun, Fir'aun's army, Fir'aun's courtiers, Fir'aun's chiefs, the magicians. He took on a whole nation for Allah's sake. And what happened? Truth was confirmed. And all that they did was made useless. So they were defeated there and they returned disgraced. We've never had to take on a whole nation for Allah's sake. Who is it that we fear? Society, our friends, our neighbors? Look at Musa alayhi salam. He's challenging a whole people, and what happened? They were defeated. And they returned disgraced. وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ And the sorcerers fell down in sajda. Why do they fall down in sajda? Because sajda symbolizes the ultimate surrender. When we surrender this intellect before Allah, قالوا آمنا برب العالمين برب موسى وهارون They said, we believe in the Lord of the world, the Lord of Musa and Harun. Now look what happens to these sorcerers. Fir'aun said, you have believed in him before I give you permission. Now imagine his fury when he sees himself being thwarted and he sees that the sorcerers have been defeated. So he takes his anger out at the sorcerers and he can't believe it that they are deserting him. He says, you have believed in him before I give you permission. Surely this is a plot which you have plotted in the city to drive out its people. But you shall come to know. His obsession with this conspiracy theory that they're out to get me. That's why they're doing it. He's not even listening to the message. That's of no importance for him. What is of importance to him is his own country and his own power. Surely I will cut off your hands and your feet from opposite sides. Then I will crucify all of you. قالوا إنا إلى ربنا منقلبون They said, we are returning to our Lord. Look at the transformation effected in the sorcerers. What were they formerly? Cringing, servile, begging Fir'aun, what reward will you give us? Flattering him, sucking up to him. Look at them now, fearless. They become heroes. Why? By the liberation of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah frees us from fearing people, from serving people. It teaches us obedience for one God and one God alone. So they say, we are returning to our Lord, do your worst. What can you do? Kill us? Well, we have to go back to Allah anyway, now or later. And you take vengeance on us only because we believed in the signs of our Lord when they reached us. See, the clarity of vision Allah grants them. So they say that we know why you're taking revenge on us. Because we believed in the signs of our Lord when they reached us. That's what you can't bear. Not because you really think we're going to try and drive you out from your land. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمين O our Lord, O our Creator, you are our nourisher, not this puny Pharaoh. You pour on us patience, sabr, constancy. Make firm our feet. Make firm our hearts at this time. وتوفنا مسلمين This is so beautiful. With death staring them in the face, they don't pray for a long life. They say, let us die in a state of iman. Let us die in a state of submission. For a moment to die in the path of Allah, that's the greatest honor Allah can bestow on him. Tawaffana muslimin. Let us die in a state of Islam. The chiefs of Pharaoh's people said, will you leave Musa and his people to spread mischief in the land and to abandon you and your God? So they incite him to further mischief. He said, we will kill their sons and let live their women. And we have indeed supreme power over them. Now they incite him, and because his ego has been thwarted, he's asked for revenge. قال موسى لقومه استعينوا بالله واصبروا. Musa said to his people, seek help in Allah and be patient. Indeed, the earth belongs to Allah. He gives it as a heritage to whom he wills of his slaves. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And the ultimate outcome is for the Allah conscious. And they had just seen a magnificent demonstration of sabr by the sorcerers. So he tells his people, tough times have come upon us again, but just ignore them and go on believing in Allah. Go on loving Allah. But they were too impatient. They said, we suffered troubles before you came to us and since you have come to us. We hear people say, what good was my salat? You know, before I was praying, I had problems, and now that I've started praying, my problems still haven't ended. Musa alayhi salam said, it may be that your Lord will destroy your enemy and make you successes on the earth so that he may see how you act. In other words, sabr doesn't mean that I pray for 5 days and then at the end of the 5 days, if my prayers haven't been answered, I say, well, what was the good of it all? Allah still hasn't answered my prayers. We like impatient children. We want everything now. Allah says, Isbiru, be patient, and Allah will answer your dua in His own good time. And indeed, we punished the people of Pharaoh with years of drought and shortness of fruits that they might remember. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَكَّرُونَ Again, the same theme is repeated. When problems come, we need to analyze ourselves. What message is Allah giving me? But whenever good came to them, they said, this belongs to us. And if evil afflicted them, they ascribed it to evil omens connected with Musa and those with him. We also like to do that, cast the responsibility of our problems and sufferings on others. And if we go through good times, then of course the merit belongs to us. Know that indeed their evil omens are with Allah, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Most of them just don't have knowledge. They said to Musa, whatever signs you may bring to us, to work there with your sorcery on us, we shall never believe in you. So we sent on them the flood, the locusts, the lice, the frogs, and the blood, a rain of blood. And just imagine how repulsive and frightening that must have been. As a succession of clear signs, fastakbaru, still they remained arrogant. What is arrogance? Rejection of the truth. And they were of those people who were criminals. And when the punishment fell on them, they would say, O Musa, call to your Lord for us. Because of his promise to you, if you remove the punishment from us, we indeed shall believe in you, and we shall let the children of Israel go with you. Look at the insolence. Call to your Lord, and people sometimes come up and say, all right, you call to your Allah and tell him to remove this distress for me, and then I'll believe. Call to your Lord. This was their insolence. But when we remove the punishment from them to a fixed term which they had to reach, behold, they broke their word. So we took retribution from them. فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ And we drowned them in the sea. Why? Because they denied our signs. وَكَانُوا عَنْهَا غَافِلِينَ And they were heedless about them. Now these last three words are very important. In this surah, again and again, we find this theme of ghafla being stressed. What is ghafla? Ghafla is when you're heedless, when you're being superficial. When we're not reaching the right conclusion, when we're not using our powers of observation, we're in a state of ghafla, forgetfulness. So Allah says they were heedless about them. They were determined because look at the signs Allah sent on them again and again. First Allah granted them prosperity, then He granted them adversity. He granted them all these disasters in the hope that they might believe. But because they were determined to reject the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually destroyed them. And we made the people who were considered weak to inherit the eastern parts of the land. Allah says in the Quran, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ Allah has decreed, Allah has written this down, that I and my messengers will definitely prevail. Even if it seems that we are the minority, those people who try and believe in Allah and obey Allah, it seems like they are the minority, they are the oppressed ones, they are the ones whom everyone despises. But this is Allah's promise to us, and Allah does not break His promise. We made the people who were considered weak to inherit the eastern parts of the land and the western parts thereof, which we have blessed. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى The beautiful word of your Lord was fulfilled for the children of Israel because of their endurance, and we destroyed completely all the great works and buildings which Pharaoh and his people erected. Now Allah goes on to recount their further history, what happened to them after they were saved from Pharaoh. And we brought the children of Israel across the sea, and they came upon a people devoted to some of their idols and worship. Now we all know of the dramatic way that they were brought across the sea. What happened when they saw these people who were worshipping this idol? They said, "O Musa, make for us a god as they have gods." So this is human nature. When we are in distress, we call to Allah and Allah alone. But once that distress is removed, we forget and become ghafil once more. So Allah says that the minute that they crossed the sea and they saw these people engaged in this idol worship, that really appealed to them. And they said, "Make for us a god as they have gods." قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ He said, "Indeed, you are people who are ignorant." And how much it must have pained him that after they had witnessed this miracle before their eyes, imagine seeing the waters of the sea engulf Pharaoh and his people, seeing their enemies destroyed before their very eyes, and still they forgot so quickly. And Musa alayhi salam said, "You are a people who are jahil, who are ignorant. After seeing all this, still you don't believe, still you've forgotten." Musa said, "Indeed, these people will be destroyed for that which they are engaged in, and all that they are doing is in vain." He said, "Shall I seek for you a god other than Allah, while He has given you superiority over the world? And remember, when we rescued you from Pharaoh's people, who were afflicting you with the worst torment, killing your sons and letting your women live, and in that was a great trial from your Lord." And we can think about it, that sometimes when we're going through pain and we make so many promises to Allah, "Allah, just get me out of this trouble and then I'll obey you." The minute it's over, we can't even remember those days of pain. So Allah says, "And we appointed for Musa 30 nights and added to the period 10 more. And he completed the term appointed by his Lord of 40 nights. What nights were these? This was the time period appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby Musa alayhi salam would come to him and receive the Torah. 40 days of solitude with Allah. And Musa said to his brother Harun, "Replace me among my people, act in the right way, and follow not the way of the mischief makers." وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّي أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ And when Musa came at the time and place appointed by us, and his Lord spoke to him, he said, "O my Lord, show me yourself that I may look upon you." قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ أُنْظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلْ فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي Allah said, "You cannot see me, but look upon the mountain. If it stands still in its place, then you shall see me." فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعْلَهُ دَكَّى وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَفْضَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So when his Lord appeared to the mountain, he made it collapse to dust, and Musa fell down unconscious. Then when he recovered his senses, he said, "Glory be to you, I turn to you in repentance, and I am the first of the believers." Now this ayat should not be interpreted wrongly. Firstly, we need to understand that why did Musa alayhi salam make this request? Because many people nowadays also say, "Well, why can't we see Allah? You know, it would be so much easier if we could see Him." Musa alayhi salam made this statement not because he disbelieved na'uzubillah, or because he was being arrogant or cheeky or blasphemous. It was out of an excess of love for Allah. Remember the state of Ihsan, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ When you worship Allah as if you can actually see Him. Musa alayhi salam wanted to reach Ihsan. He loved Allah so much that he wanted to see Him. Now remember in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Allah, show me a sign." And Allah said, "أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن Do you not believe?" And he said, "No, I do believe. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي But that my heart may be at peace." Now it's not for us to say statements like, "Well, I also want to see Allah because I love Him so much." We find that even the Prophet of Allah, Kalimullah, the one who had heard Allah's voice, was unable to see Him because he fell down unconscious. And when he recovered his senses, he said, "Glory be to you. I turn to you in repentance. We are incapable of perceiving Allah with our vision. And I am the first of the believers. And this honor will be granted to people in Jannah, insha'Allah." قَالَ يَا مُوسَى Allah said, "O Musa, إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ I have chosen you above men by my messages and by my speaking to you. So hold to that which I have given you. وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And be of the grateful. And we wrote for him on the tablets the lesson to be drawn from all things and the explanation of all things, and said, hold on to these with firmness and enjoin your people to take the better therein. I shall show you the home of those who are disobedient to Allah. So the Prophet's duty is not just restricted to himself, that he has to obey Allah and end of story. The Prophet's responsibility is to convey the message to all of his people. And after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he handed this torch to us. It's not enough for me to say, well, I'll purify myself and then I'll see if I can tell anyone or not. We have to work in this together. Abdinu Nasiha. Islam is the name of sincerity, of well-wishing. If we want Jannat al-Firdaus for ourselves, we should seek it for others as well. So asrifu anayati. Allah says, I shall turn away from my verses. In other words, Allah is giving us a warning. Who are the people who turn away from this Quran? Who are the people who turn away from Allah's signs? Who are bored by them? Who find them really dull and dreary? Those who behave arrogantly on the earth. What was the satanic sin? Arrogance. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنُّ. I don't need this Quran. It's enough that you're good. I don't believe in organized religion. We hear people saying things like this nowadays. Allah says those who behave arrogantly on the earth, who think they don't need this, without any right, and even if they were to see all the signs, they would not believe in them. And if they see the way of good, they will not adopt it as the way. They have examples before them, but they don't find them moving. They don't find them interesting. People say, oh, I'm not ready to read the Quran as yet. But if they see the way of error, they will adopt that way. This is because they have rejected our signs. وَكَانُوا عَنْهَا غَافِلِينَ. And they were heedless about them. Again, we find this word, غافلين. Someone who is passing superficial judgment. Someone who is not interested in reflection or contemplation. So what will happen to such people? Those who deny our signs and the meeting in the hereafter. حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Their deeds are wasted. Whatever they're doing. We find in this day and age, philanthropists. People who do so much for mankind, but they're not doing it for Allah. They're doing it because they like to be called philanthropists, or they're doing it because they love people. So in that case, they need not expect any reward from Allah. If they're not doing it for Allah, why should Allah reward them? Allah says, those who deny our signs and the meeting in the hereafter, vain are their deeds. They're not going to be rewarded by Allah. And that's only just because they weren't doing it for Allah, so why should He reward them? هَلْ يُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Are they requited with anything except what they used to do? يَعْمَلُونَ. It's easy to talk. It's easy to preach. At the end of the day, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man will have only that which he strived for, which he achieved. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. And his efforts, his struggles will be seen on that day. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. If you've done an atom of goodness, you will see that. And وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. If you've done an atom of evil, we will see that too.